Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Three straight wins for the Nashville Predators after a big one last night in Montreal at the Bell Center. Welcome into Morning Drive. This is Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, how's it going, brother?
Good morning. Morning. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're alive. We're here. Everything's going very well. Munson, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man.
Good.
Basketball day today.
It is basketball day. SEC tournament begins play tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Munson will be there, as will Joe Rexroad.
Oh, yeah.
Checking in some hoops, you know?
That's right.
And fans, as far as I know.
As far as we know, fans will be there, too.
It's always lightly attended on this first night anyway, but the ACC went on as, you know, with fans. Some places aren't going with fans. Some, you know, the Ivy League's just flat out canceling the whole thing. There's still some really interesting decisions ahead, but as far as we know, this is just going to go on as normal here.
Yeah. You know, a place where they had a bunch of fans last night? Montreal. They always have a bunch of fans in Montreal, virus or no virus. They were there taking in the game, and I thought the Predators played really well. I mean, we were talking yesterday about, okay, it's great that you've beaten Dallas twice. As you heard in the opening clip there, that's a team that they've really struggled with. David Poile joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to talk about that. So to get those two wins and get those under your belt, I think was really important. But it's all about kind of where you go from here. How do you continue to respond? And we've seen it time and time again this year where you feel like the Predators are playing really well, and then all of a sudden they come out against, you know, a team that maybe is on paper not that good, and they just have a clunker. Well, last night I thought really from start to finish in that game, save for a few moments there in the third period, I think they played really well, and now they've won three straight games.
Yeah, well, they were, you know, through two periods, it was like, man, Asaro's going to get a third straight shutout. Don't be alarmed by that cough.
Clorox.
We do have the disinfecting wipes here. And, you know, I mean, really bad bounce for Montreal's first goal. And then both of those goals were, one of them was a breakdown. One of them was just a bad bounce off the boards. He played great early on, a couple big saves. And then, obviously, you get Johansson on the board. You get Forsberg twice on the board. Yarncroke's goal was like Carey Price, man. You can't let that one face off. But to get Forsberg going, to get one from Johansson, more good play from Saros. You know, it just really comes down to now, like, just how willing you are to buy. You know, I tweeted last night, you buying this team? Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of examples of why you got to be careful. But I don't think there's any question they've got a little thing going here.
I'm still not quite there yet in terms of buying them. And I don't even know what I mean by buying them. Do I think they can make the playoffs? Yeah, I think they can. After the game last night, they have the first wild card spot in the playoffs, 78 points. Vancouver also with 78. They have the second wild card spot. Winnipeg has 78 points as well, has played one more game than both Nashville and Vancouver have. But all of a sudden, Joe, you know, we've talked about the wild card spots and all this going on with the Predators. You take a glance up in the standings.
Uh-oh.
They're only 4 points behind the Dallas Stars for third place in the Central Division. They have made up ground quickly on the Stars, and that'll happen when you beat them twice in a row in regulation. But Dallas loses again last night to the New York Rangers at home, 4-2. I think they were down 4-0 in that game. and end up losing 4-2. So all of a sudden,
they scored.
Yeah, they did score.
Job, Dallas.
Yeah, scored twice.
Woo.
That may be the rest of the week for them. Just ruined the whole quota in one game. But all of a sudden, you look up and getting into that top three in the division, all of a sudden is not out of the question, which this time last week, I would have said, yeah, you can forget about that. But it's amazing how two wins in regulation in a row against the Stars can really help close that gap as quickly as it has. And I mean, the Stars are reeling right now. I think if you're the Predators or the Jets or the Wild, you're kind of licking your chops right now. Like, okay, we thought that maybe that was kind of out of the realm of possibility to catch those guys. And all of a sudden, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a four-way chase for third right now. You have to look at it that way. I would ask, if you're the Predators, do you want, I know we're talking playoff matchups now, mm-hmm. but do you want, you know, Colorado, a Colorado series?
Like, who would would you rather play, the Pacific Division winner or Colorado?
Yeah, would you rather go to Vegas or Denver? You know, another thing, though, is, I mean, Colorado has a game in hand and St. Louis is 2 points back. So it could be St. Louis.
Yeah.
And I guess you would say, well, the matchup has been
decent.
Pretty good. Now, Tarasenko, as far as I know, is going to be part of the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Kind of changes that team. But, yeah, it's just the idea that you could even be there right now is crazy. Six straight losses for Dallas. That will help.
Yes, it will. And, look, that's obviously not going to continue forever. I would expect Dallas to get something figured out down the stretch here at some point. But if you're the Predators, I mean, you just got to keep collecting points this week, and who knows where you could end up at the end of the week. I mean, if Dallas continues this slide, you got a big game coming up against Toronto tomorrow, and then, of course, Columbus Saturday, which, by the way, you know, there was, speaking of the coronavirus stuff, there was, you know, the state of Ohio yesterday was talking about not having gatherings and not having sporting events, and
the governor basically said, please don't.
Please don't do it. And the Blue Jackets released a statement yesterday afternoon. I know a lot of you were planning on going to Columbus. In terms of our listeners, there's a road trip that we're putting on here. A lot of fans make that trip anyway because it's a relatively easy place to get to from Nashville. And Saturday night, it appears the Blue Jackets are going to play their games as scheduled. I believe they play Thursday against Pittsburgh at home and Saturday against the Predators at home in Columbus. It looks like both of those games will go on as scheduled. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. But I say that to say, you know, the Predators, big games this week. Eastern Conference opponents, the Leafs have been struggling. They got a big win last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning to kind of get off the schneid a little bit. Columbus has been playing much better as of late. And then Minnesota on Sunday, which we all know that's going to be a crucial game, but if you're the Predators, you got to feel pretty good about yourself right now. We've said, you know, they need to spend more time in the offensive zone. I thought last night they did that pretty effectively.
Or do you have to feel good about yourself right now? Maybe you have to not feel good
Maybe
about
not.
Yourself right
Maybe
now.
Maybe you're right.
And whatever's been working here, go with it. But, you know, just I think you've got some consistency in terms of defensive zone responsibility. Again, you know, the second goal for Montreal was a mishap somewhere in there. The first one was just a wacky, you know, lucky bounce for the Canadiens. But for the most part, really solid in that way. And that's fine. You say, last night I tweeted this out, Robbie. I said, you know, are you buying this team? And Stillman immediately responds, yeah, if they can play Montreal every night. So I'm like, okay, or Dallas, because they just beat them twice.
Right.
Or St. Louis, because they just beat them twice. I mean, yeah, are they erratic? Yes, because then they'll lose 8-3. But it's not like they're just, I mean, if anything, they don't feed on the bottom feeders.
Yeah.
It's the other way around. That's not what this team has been. But when you start stacking performances like this, you know, it starts to feel like they're figuring some things out and finding some consistency. And again, all we talk about is those guys producing. So when you get three goals from among those four guys, and especially, you know, like Forsberg, I don't know what happened on his second goal, but his first goal, it was a screen somewhere. I mean, he just kind of flipped it up there. But the first goal was a Forsberg, like, okay, he's hot. He's getting hot now, and that shot is starting to just find those, you know, those holes. That was a Forsberg might be heating up goal. And again, that's, you can't ask for, if you're the Predators right now, looking at the last few weeks here, you definitely want that to happen.
Yeah, no question about it. And I had an interesting experience watching the game last night, as I'm sure Munson just loves. I was sitting there, my wife was watching The Bachelor on TV, so I had that going on in the background. People just crying everywhere for no reason whatsoever. My dog, I guess, was scared by the people crying on the TV, so she was sitting on my face. So trying to watch this Predators game was challenging, but I was able to do it and overcome the nonsense going on around me. And one of the things I noticed very quickly was Cale Yarncroft. I think he had a breakaway chance right out of the gate in the game, scores the goal later in the game, and he's a guy that he was pretty red hot offensively to start this year and then has just completely like fallen off the map offensively. He's shown that he, and not to the same level as Forsberg and some of these other guys, but he can be a little streaky as well offensively. So we've talked about Bonino and Smith and Grimaldi all season long. Granlund, kind of that next tier of scoring they've had for the most part all season. Those guys, not quite as frequent as of late. If you can get Yarncroft going as well, it's like you're getting secondary scoring from different players at different times this year. And nobody's like all going dry at once. That's important to have, I think. And Yarncroke, I thought, was really awesome last night, especially when you consider apparently heading into the game, he was a game time decision. So he played pretty well.
Yeah. You know, early on, a lot of it was playing with Johansson,
yeah,
right?
It was.
So, I mean, some of the production with him is kind of like where he gets put and what kind of role. You got to appreciate Yarncroke because basically he can do everything and
yeah,
he can be any kind of guy. He's never going to be a top line guy, you know, not really a top six forward. But if you put him in that position, as you said, sometimes he can produce for you and make some big plays. He's all around solid player. So, hey, any little help you can get is big. Johansson scoring, and that was just a really nice pass from Forsberg on that play. Now, that to me is, you know, it's just any kind of positivity for him at this point is a big deal for the Preds. You know, he's the guy who has more from where he is to what his ceiling is, mm-hmm, than anyone by far, I think. So, again, he's not a guy that you worry about, like, you know, hot or cold or whatever as a scorer,
yeah,
but just being engaged and making plays and, man, it makes such a big difference for this team.
Yeah, it does, and I want to get into that when we come back. There was something that stood out to me about Johansson's goal. I want to talk about that coming up next. If you've got thoughts on the Preds, give us a call, 615-737-1025. Again, 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages as we talk about the big Preds win. We'll be back. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Preds fans, starting today at 7:45 a.m., you can bid on a Smashville VIP package with proceeds benefiting Tornado Relief and the Preds Foundation. The package includes two tickets to Preds and Threads on March 17th, two tickets to the VIP after party with a team autographed jersey also included, two lower-level tickets to a Preds game on March 21st against the Philadelphia Flyers, and dinner with two with Pete Weber and Hal Gill before that game against the Flyers on March the 21st as well. So really cool stuff there that you can bid on, the Smashville VIP package. Text PREDS to 615-737-1025 now. The bidding will close at 7:45 tonight. So really cool stuff there for the Smashville VIP package. Welcome back in to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad talking PREDS. If you've got PREDS thoughts, give us a call, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Mike, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. Mike, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning. So I am definitely impressed with how the team has kind of turned itself around these last three games. And the one player that I kind of feel like can be an X factor down the stretch for sure has to be Matt Duchene. Now, when we signed him, I think a lot of the fans thought that he'd be the next coming of Jesus Christ. And the way that the first 10 games went, it was a blistering start. But again, what should be his ceiling and what should we expect from him maybe the rest of the year? But again, like, going forward, so people can kind of gauge their expectations, because again, I know he's underperforming, but again, what is truly the guy's feeling and what should we be expecting from him going forward?
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. WWMDD. What would Matt Duchene do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, look, he's right. When I tried to warn people against this when he was signing in the offseason, and I get it. Predators fans are very excited. It's not like the Preds have had a ton of free agents elect to come to Nashville throughout the history of their franchise, especially big-name free agents like Matt Duchene. I mean, Paul Kariya was the first guy. Bonino came here in free agency a few years ago, but very rarely has this happened.
Peter Forsberg was that
was
a
trade.
That was a
so,
trade.
Yeah, yeah. Like free agency, yeah. There hasn't been a whole lot of activity. So I get it. I mean, Matt Duchene was coming in. He was a guy that made no secret about it. He loved Nashville. He wanted to be here. I think has wanted to be here for a long time. The Predators have wanted to get him for a long time. He was coming off a 70-point season with both the Senators and the Blue Jackets last year, the combo that he had. He was a point-per-game player in the playoffs, so I get it. You're looking at him, and you're like, okay. I mean, the Preds are getting a 70-point guy. He's a guy that showed that he's not afraid of the big moment in the playoffs, played really well. But if you look at Duchene's career, it's not really what he's been. He's gotten 70 points, I think, twice throughout his career, but most of the time he's, you know, 57, 58, 59 points, somewhere around that area. So I tried to kind of warn people that, you know, this is not Connor McDavid that the Predators are bringing in. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, Matt Duchene, I think, is a really good player, and I think is going to be a really good player for the Predators for a long time. He has, I guess, underperformed this year, maybe not to the degree of Ryan Johansson, but certainly I think you would want more out of, especially a goal-scoring perspective, than they've gotten from Matt Duchene. 42 points on the year, only 13 goals on the year, and he had 30 goals last year. What are realistic expectations down the stretch? I don't think it's going to be what he did to begin the year, where he had like 10 points in 5 games or whatever it was. But I do think, you know, playing with a, you know, 55, 60-point pace down the stretch with goals coming with more regularity, that's got to be something that Duchene starts to do. I think the playmaking is going to come. I think he's playing a lot better in the last 10 games than he has really since the beginning part of this season, so that's encouraging if you're a Predators fan. But to me, you got to start to see the puck go in the back of the net, and that whether that's power play, 5-on-5, I don't really care. Just put it in the back of the net either way. That's got to be kind of that next step for Duchene, in my opinion. Start scoring with more regularity.
Yeah, I think he's creating some chances, but it's kind of like it's Johansson, too, with both those guys. You know, those are guys that you expect to be in position also to score some goals, kind of like Nick Bonino has wedged himself into position, you know, the way he's played. So I would have expected, you know, 20-plus goals from Duchene this year. And, yeah, around 60 points. I mean, that's what you – and that's what he is, and that's worth pursuing. But you're right. There were definitely some people who I think just thought – and he had a huge year last year in Ottawa, and then in the playoffs for Columbus, he was red hot too. So you're coming in off that. But, you know, if you go through the entirety of his career, about 60 points is about what you expect from him. And you just want him – you know, it's just like a lot of these guys, you want to notice him more.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think that's happening more with him lately.
I agree. I think when you take a look at Duchene, I think people look at the contract, they look at the production this year, and they start to have the conversation of, okay – you know, what exactly are we getting with Matt Duchene? Is this something to be concerned about in terms of his production? I don't think so. I mean, I think Duchene also, in addition to maybe not playing as well as he would like to this year, I think he's had some tough luck, too. I mean, he talked about it, I think, with Adam Vingan a couple of days ago. He's hit a lot of posts. He's missed a lot of breakaway opportunities that he's had. He's had some front, like opportunities right on the doorstep that he just hasn't converted. I think most years he's going to get around that 55, 60-point mark. And if you're the Predators and that's what he does consistently, I mean, you're probably okay with that. I mean, if you've got Ryan Johansson getting around 60, 65 points and Matt Duchene getting around 60, 65 points, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch that you have in your life. Just think about where this team would be right now if Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson were on pace to get 60 or 65 points. I mean, you're talking about a team that's probably competing for the top spot in the Central Division. So that could be the difference. I think Duchene long-term here is going to be fine, and I have been encouraged by what I've seen in the last 10 games or so, because like you said, Joe, I think you're starting to notice him on the ice with a lot more regularity.
Yeah, you want to basically you want to be like a 20-40 guy. I mean, really, Johansson and Duchene. I mean, if they're both that. So, you know, right now, Duchene would be around, they'd both be around 50 points. So that's about, doing math again, you know, 22 more points than they have collectively right now. Yeah.
Pretty big difference.
That would be a difference in a few games right now, and they would be in a different position. So, I think some years it goes like that, even though players may go up and down. Some years, you know, it doesn't go in for you. And then the next year you get a few lucky ones to go. And, you know, I mean, but over time it should balance out to about the production that Matt Duchene has displayed. And the thing about, you know, the point totals around 60, that's what he's been allowed. But again, he's had seasons of, you know, 30, 27, 23, 23 again, 21, 27, 24. You know, he's had a lot of seasons well above 20 goals. And that's where probably the biggest difference between this year and that is, because I'm trying to look back on the lat. I mean, this is his lowest season. We're going back 7 years, Colorado. 2013, he had 17 goals,
and that was a lockout shortened year.
There you go. So that was only 47 games. So in a quote unquote, really in a full season, he's never been under, except for 17. Well, but then he got moved. So anyway, you know, he should be in the 20s. That's what he has been. And so you hope that moving forward, year after year, he's going to be here for a long time. He's in the 20s every year, around 60. That's what he is. And that's worth getting. That's worth going after and paying what they did. You know, like you said, there are a couple guys who are transcendent players in the league. No one ever said he was, but I think he got that almost reputation just because he's been such a focal point of pursuit for this organization.
He has been, and, you know, I think he's starting to play better. Johansson with a goal last night. One of the things that stood out to me about Johansson's goal was where he scored it from. He's right in the middle of the ice, right in front of the net, and that's driving towards the net. And we talked yesterday about it, Joe. We got to see that more from Ryan Johansson. First off, it's a great play. I think Victor Arvidsson and Forsberg had that two-on-one chance right before it. Forsberg couldn't quite get enough of it, and Forsberg makes a nice play to go retrieve the puck and makes a great backhand pass to Johansson. But credit to Johansson for recognizing what was going on, getting to the middle, and putting himself in a position to shoot. And that shot is a great shot. And that was one of those examples that Preds fans, since Johansson has got here, they've just been like, why don't you shoot more?
Yeah.
Because your shot is really, really good when you let it go. That, to me, last night was kind of a perfect example of what we've been talking about.
And if you're Johansson, do you say, man, sure like being with Arvidsson and Forsberg.
Yep.
Can this happen more
knock,
often, please?
Knock.
Hey, I mean it's it a coincidence. They have a chemistry.
I think they just
man.
Got caught out there on a change, but I mean it
right,
worked.
Right. I mean they've got
knew
chemistry.
Knew exactly where Forsberg was going to go with that puck. He sure did. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Two more assists last night for Roman Josi. I mean, he just continues to light it up. I mean, it's unbelievable. And look, we thought for a long time that the Norris Trophy probably wasn't possible for him because of just the monster season John Carlson in Washington was having. I think you're starting to see more and more people come around to the idea that maybe Roman Josi should be getting a whole lot more, I don't want to say attention, because I think he's getting a lot of attention for it, but maybe the prospects of him winning it
actually
should
winning
be
it, right.
More and more realistic. That's starting to become more popular league-wide. So obviously, really good stuff for Roman Josi last night. Two more assists. When we come back, we talked about Philip Forsberg earlier in the show. He's starting to come alive offensively, and that could be really, really dangerous for other teams around the league. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great and talented Joe Rexrode from The Athletic, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, Philip Forsberg, my man, 2 goals last night, 3 goals in the month of March after not scoring a goal at all in the month of February. You know, we've heard a lot of talk about February around here, how that's supposed to be the month that Forsberg just takes over and has taken over in the past during his career. I think Adam Vingan from The Athletic dubbed the month of March "Farch" last night for Philip Forsberg, which is, I don't know if that has the same ring to it. And I don't know if I could go with "Farch" in the month of March for Philip Forsberg. But I mean, hey, that's good news for the Predators, I guess, if he's continuing to score the way he has lately.
Filch?
Filch.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Eh.
Just, what about just like Marchberg?
See, that's better than Farch.
Farch?
I was like, what is that?
Yeah, Farch, yeah, that just, yeah, I don't know, man. It's something about that just doesn't sound right.
It just doesn't sound good.
But, yeah, February. I don't have the numbers, but it's a thing. It's been a thing.
It's been a thing.
For
not
whatever
as
reason,
much the last couple years, but, like, especially really early on in his career, like, he had, like, back-to-back hat tricks in February. Like, he's been pretty productive in the month of February. Not as much the last couple years.
Yeah. Hey, it's better to be hot in March than in February, right?
It is. Or Farch. Either one.
Farch. There's got to, yeah.
We got to do some work on that. That's not good.
Vingan usually is pretty good with wordplay, but that one needs.
That may have been his worst.
That one needs work. Yeah, look, he's as streaky as they come, which isn't necessarily a great thing always for a top six forward, but when he gets going, he gets going. And, you know, it's just like, I've always wondered, like, how do you compare, you know, shooting a hockey puck when you're hot, you know, like, how does that compare to, you know, being a hitter in baseball? You're seeing the ball a little bit better, or shooting the basketball, you know, when you're in a zone and, like, anything you put up, you just know what's going in. You know, I imagine it's much the same. Some guys are streakier than others. Well, I think we've talked for a while. Forsberg, I think, has been putting himself in position to score.
Yeah.
You know, when he finally broke out of it, he had that unbelievable pass from Roman Josi and kind of just whiffed on it. And you're like, yeah, man, this guy.
Yeah.
He scored on a power play that night. Just sort of said, you know what, just rip one. See what happens. And it just sneaks through for you. Was that shot any better than a lot of shots he had been taking that weren't going in? I don't know.
Probably not.
But maybe some one time when the goalie lets it trickle in, all of a sudden, does that hone your shot a little bit? I mean, it's fascinating how this stuff works in sports because so much of it is mental. So if you're the Predators, you hope this means that he's just got that little extra, you know, little extra filth on that shot, and all of a sudden they're going to start going in for him. More and more.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, that first goal he scored last night on the power play, I mean, when he's shooting it like that, and especially, you know, executing the shot where he's hitting the corner like that, I mean, there's not a goaltender in the league that's going to stop that. I mean, that was just a great shot. And he's gotten that same look and that same kind of scoring chance before on the power play many times throughout the month of February, and it just didn't go in. Either he missed it wide or didn't quite put it where he wanted to put it. And the goalie makes the save. Josi did a great job of just kind of holding on to the puck long enough to make the defense follow him, and that gave Forsberg some room. But that just seemed like a guy who said, you know what? I'm feeling good about myself right now. I'm just going to let this thing rip. And there's not a goaltender in the league that would have stopped that shot last night. So if he can continue to stay hot like he has at many different times throughout his career once he gets going offensively, that could be really good news for this Predators team because he's shown he's a guy that once he gets rolling, he can score a whole bunch of goals in a very short amount of time and sometimes can take over the game. And we've talked about waiting for one of these guys to consistently get to the point where they can take over games. I think Forsberg is probably the most equipped to do that just from the talent that he has, and he's starting to play a lot better, not only with his shot, but I thought last night, I mean, he was just really confident in all areas of his game, made the great pass to Johansson for his goal, made a couple other really good passes that they weren't able to connect on in terms of finishing it off, but he looked very confident last night and very dangerous, which I think has certainly got to be a good news if you're John Hines.
Yeah, I mean, he's it depends on how you want to judge talent, because you could look at like Johansson too. But yeah, to me, Forsberg and Josi are your two most talented players, your most dangerous players. And, you know, now they're starting to separate themselves a little bit. Forsberg coming up to closer to where he should be. Willie Donig said he's going to get 30 goals. So
he's got some work.
It didn't look great going into last night. You have a two-goal game, and it's like, okay, well, you know. I mean, he's got 13 games, 9 goals. We've seen Forsberg have hotter runs than that.
Yeah.
If he has a run anything close to that, that's got to bode well for their chances. Because, yes, he is the guy. I mean, I think back in terms of playoff series. Unfortunately for the Preds, really the last two playoff series, especially the last one, but even Winnipeg, it wasn't what they wanted from, you know, their top forwards. But you think about that Colorado series, you know, I mean, it was like a nightly, you know, ESPN number one play on SportsCenter type stuff from him at times. I mean, he can just do stuff that most people can't. So you want that guy to be unleashed right now this time of year.
And we talked yesterday about, you know, maybe some of your top guys getting more opportunity in terms of their ice time. Like, we understood why, you know, players like Johansson and Forsberg, Duchesne, Arvidsson, they were getting, for lack of a better term, benched earlier on in John Hines' tenure. Maybe weren't getting the same amount of ice time as they had grown accustomed to. Probably needs to change as they go forward here, because, you know, they're probably going to live and die offensively by those top guys. So you got to give them opportunities to be productive. Last night, Forsberg, 20 minutes and 11 seconds of ice time. I mean, that's right around where you want it to be this time of year from some of your top guys. So I thought that was interesting, number one, to see. And I think reflective of the way John Hines thought Philip Forsberg was performing last night.
Yeah. I mean, John Hines knows who, like, the top players are. You know, like, he wants to play them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll give him credit for kind of just saying, hey, that's it. I mean, a couple of those games, it was just like, okay, we'll just go with some guys who want to battle. Certainly, John Hines knows who gives him the best chance to win when they play like he wants them to play. So that reflects not just producing, of course, scoring is great, but also going out shift after shift and doing what John Hines wants to see and what he believes will lead to more opportunities.
Yeah, and another good night for Victor Arvidsson as well, an assist last night. I still don't think he's back completely up to top gear in terms of the way he's moving on the ice, but it's starting to get better. I mean, I think you're starting to see him be more of a pest now. He's getting to those areas that I think, quite frankly, earlier this year, maybe he just physically wasn't able to do with the injuries that he's been dealing with. And that's 3 games in a row with an assist for Victor Arvidsson. The production starting to come for him, and that's got to be encouraging too. Last night had 20 shifts, which the last 5 games he's been right around the 13, 14, 15 mark. So starting to get more comfortable, starting to get more ice time, and I think starting to look a little bit healthier out there as well. If they can get him back up to full speed, top gear, Victor Arvidsson, then I think you feel pretty good about the way your lineup looks, because that speed element that he has, I mean, they don't have a ton of guys like that. Grimaldi, Smith, those are probably, other than Arvidsson, maybe your 2 fastest forwards. If they can get him back out there, maybe that adds another element in terms of him being up to full speed and putting pressure on the defense that, quite honestly, I don't think they've been able to do a whole lot this year.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's realistic that he'll
may not be.
You know, that he'll get all the way back, but I feel like there's some improvement there. And just overall, you know, with all these guys too, I mean, look, I never thought any of these guys were like, okay, got paid and just put your feet up and whatever. But you also have to remember too, when you go year after year, and especially if you're in the playoffs every year and it gets even longer, you know, when you can actually see the light at the end of the tunnel, that usually helps guys too, you know. And now they're actually, they know what the stakes are, and every game is huge. 82 games, man.
It's a grind.
I mean, it's just human nature that it's not easy to be at your absolute best every night. I know, I understand people saying you make a lot of money and you're playing hockey for a living. That's true, but there's just an extra level of edge and intensity when, you know, you're in something, you're in the playoffs or you're fighting for the playoffs and it's at the end and there aren't that many games left. So you also would hope that would have some kind of an overall impact on some of these top guys, you know, in terms of getting the best out of them here down the stretch.
And I think it has. I think you can see that. Now, are they where they need to be in terms of doing that on a consistent basis? I'm not willing to go there yet. I mean, I think they've certainly made some progress this past week and have looked really good at times against both Dallas and Montreal. You still have some challenging options and opponents this week. I mean, you know, you mentioned yesterday Hal Gill talking about you don't want to go out there and get embarrassed. That can happen against a team like Toronto, who has
right.
Matthews and Marner and Tavares. And I know they haven't had the year that probably most people expected Toronto to have, but when you have dangerous options like that, got to make sure that intensity level is still there. I think the Predators are making progress in that area, but, you know, every now and then something creeps up in their game where it's 8-3 before you know it, and that can happen against Toronto just as quickly as probably anybody else in the league. So that's something you got to be careful of tomorrow.
Yeah, we expect them to usually rise up in games like this, but then also it's like, well, but can they deal with a team that's kind of out of it and not as good? Well, they handled Montreal, so just, you know, just play well every night and beat everyone, and then you don't have to worry
yeah,
about
I mean, what,
you know, if you do that, gosh,
that should be the strategy, right?
Yeah.
See how that goes.
You're gonna be you're gonna be the three if you do that, I guess. If you really get hot here, you're gonna be the three, and then it's a matter of, do you want to be the three, or would you rather be playing Vegas? Then again, Edmonton is close. You know, they've closed the gap on Vegas too. There's just so much. The West could go a million different directions right now.
When we come back, the Titans signed a guy to a contract extension yesterday. Maybe not quite the guy we've been waiting on, but a contract extension nonetheless. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, Titans made a big signing yesterday, my man. I don't know if you saw this or not.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
You get that email. It's like, you know, Titans agree to.
Wait a minute. What? Oh.
Reggie Gilbert.
Reggie Gilbert, baby. Outside linebacker Reggie Gilbert signed to a one-year contract extension yesterday by the Titans. He was slated to become, I guess, an exclusive rights-free agent in March. Is now officially under contract. So good for the Titans to get their linebacking depth just further thrown out there. I mean, he's a guy that not going to have a huge impact on what they do, but I did see, like, it came across my feed yesterday and it says Titans sign, and I was like, oh boy, who is it? And then it's Reggie Gilbert. And this is no disrespect to Reggie Gilbert. I mean, he's a fine player and I'm sure a really fine guy, but it gets people going this time of year when free agency's right around the corner. You've got your own impending free agents coming up. We've talked all offseason long about Tannehill and Derrick Henry, Logan Ryan, Jack Conklin, all these different guys that they have to sign. I think when you take a look at just what's going on now, this is what makes this time of year really fun, I think, in terms of just the hysteria that goes along with it, but also can be just like mind-bogglingly repetitive after a long time too. It's kind of that interesting balance of how the NFL has somehow found a way to dominate every single month of the sports calendar.
I like mind-bogglingly, by the way. That's what I'm looking for. That's a much better word than farch.
Yes.
Adam Vingan's
yeah, farch.
We're
going to
make fun of him all day.
That.
Yeah. No, it's amazing, the NFL, to what your point there, that how they dominate all year. There's no other sport where we obsess about personnel moves. I mean, the next closest thing would be college football.
Yeah.
And then college basketball probably next after that. But, like, you know, recruiting, you know, prospects, visits, all that stuff. But the NFL free agency, man, it is it's its own thing. The draft is its own thing. I mean, the NFL now, you know, this 17-game thing, and I know that they've talked about the two buys. You know, the idea is just take over February. You know, it's ripe to be taken over. Take it over. I'm just so glad that we are finally inching towards some resolution here to some of these things. I know that it's good for talk, and it's, you know, fun to talk about different situations, but I think we're about there now. I think we've pretty much explored all the things, and it feels like it's moving toward really more of what we thought all along. I mean, I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year. Don't know that for sure. Can't say that for certain. But I think there's some signs about that. Even, honestly, maybe I'm reading too much into this because, look, you know, Ryan Tannehill certainly has every reason to care about Nashville and people who got affected by the tornadoes. But, you know, even like Tannehill tweeting the other day about all this, you know, things you can do. He tweeted out, you know, the Hands on Nashville website and all this stuff. And, yeah, like to me, I was like, that's a guy who, you know, is in, kind of invested in Nashville. And that's the tweets of a guy who's going to be here more than this, you know? Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, this is also the time of year when you can read too much into anything. But I did kind of notice that, you know.
When he used we and us when he was talking about the city of Nashville, too.
Right.
And look, I mean, yeah, like I said, we can, I think a lot of us read a lot into what's going on in terms of this time of year with impending free agents. We parse every word they say, every tweet that they send out. But I do think we've both thought all along the most likely resolution to this is that Ryan Tannehill is back next year. And look, I mean, if you're the Titans, how long have the Titans just been searching and searching for quarterback stability? I think they're on the verge of finding that, which has got to be exciting if you're a Titans fan, because you've basically been waiting on that since Steve McNair left. Like, you know, you've had some stretches of really good, like Vince Young, when he first came here, was really good, and then that faded quickly. Kerry Collins was okay for a couple years, was really good in 1 year, I think in 08, when they went to the best record in the league, 13-3, went to the divisional round before losing to the Ravens. You've gone through Hasselbeck and Jake Locker and Charlie Whitehurst at one point, all these different, Zach Mettenberger.
Little Mettenberger, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a revolving door of quarterbacks for the Titans as of late, and I think we're finally on the verge of maybe getting some long-term stability there, which that's the most important thing in the NFL to have, is stability at your quarterback position.
Well, and that's another case for him, because, look, you'll trade stability for a Super Bowl, so if Tom Brady actually was the one who would deliver you the Lombardi, then you would be fine within a couple of years having to find someone else and draft someone else. Sure, of course. But Tannehill actually gives you a chance to have several years of a good quarterback if you believe what we saw in 13 games. And I'm more apt to believe it than to just dismiss it, that's for sure. Not saying he's going to absolutely replicate that, but it's a short-term. I think this league is a short-term proposition always. You know, where are you right now? How close are you to, you know, really being a contender? And right now you have to think of the Titans in the next couple of years, you know, of next year and the year after that. And, you know, but if you lock up a QB who's you feel good about for several years, man, that's a big thing off your plate that a lot of teams in this league are constantly starting over on and looking for. And, you know, last year it was Marcus Mariota prove it year, and it wasn't, you know, he didn't perform. He didn't take charge of it. And so usually when that happens, you get spun into, you know, quarterback purgatory again, and they don't have to be that now. That's an opportunity to me. It's not exactly like the Colts, you know, when you go from, you know, Peyton to Andrew Luck, but it's kind of a lucky break when the guy you draft number two overall ends up not panning out, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there with the guy who was the highest rated QB in the league last year as his replacement.
Yeah, and I think, look, everybody keeps having this conversation of the regression of Tannehill, like that it's going to happen next year and he's not going to be anywhere near the same player that he was. I think even if he regresses, you're still looking at a pretty good quarterback. Like, he was elite last year for the Titans. I mean, if he plays in every game last year for the Titans, I mean, he has a pretty good case to be NFL MVP. That's how good he was for the Titans last year. You're right. He's probably not going to be at that level consistently next year. But even if he's, you know, a tier below that, you still give yourself a pretty good chance to win games and to compete in the division. At least I would think so.
Right. I didn't, you know, early on you're like, okay, you have this preconceived notion of him. So early on it was like, okay, so he's throwing it well. He's a little bit hot right now. Yep. It'll go back to what he is. But that's the thing. I think there's a little bit of misconception about what he was, what he is. But as the weeks went on, it's like, well, how is this not who he is? You know, and it's not, he wasn't doing like insane. He wasn't getting like, I mean, I guess here and there, you throw a short pass to AJ Brown and he goes 70 yards. That helps your numbers. It helps your yards per attempt and all that stuff. But I just thought he was pretty consistently good. And even in the playoffs, I never thought, you know, I've heard people say, yeah, but he didn't throw, and you can't win with a QB throwing for 100 yards. I'm like, yeah, but at no point did I think, oh, they're hiding Tannehill.
Right.
It was just how the games went. They were winning with Derrick Henry, and they were chewing huge chunks of clock. And when they needed Tannehill to make big throws, he did. So, look, 13 games may not be as much of a sample size as you want, but by the end of it, I was like, that's who he is.
Yeah, and certainly sometimes it's just as simple in sports as a change of scenery. And I think we've seen by what's happened in Miami historically, and more specifically what's happened with Adam Gase pretty much everywhere he's been lately, doesn't really go well all the time. Maybe it wasn't just Ryan Tannehill that was the issue in Miami. And I had there's some friends I have in Miami that follow the Dolphins pretty closely. And about halfway through Tannehill's season last year, they texted me like, who is this guy? And I was like, maybe he wasn't the issue down there in Miami. Maybe it was somebody else.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had, you know, coach changes, OC changes.
And he did get injured.
And then the injuries. He had, you know, Brent Grimes' wife was ripping him on Twitter every day. I mean, you know, he had some adversity down there. Not a great organization. So, no, again, when I look back at it, I was like, okay, there's a lot that you don't realize, including how well he was playing before the injury started to hit. And by the way, you can bring that all the way around. He was healthy last year, yep. But he does have an injury history.
He does.
It's not a Mariota injury history, but it's something that you still, you know, if I'm the Titans, I'm thinking about it and maybe saying something about it at the table too. I mean, it's still a thing that you have to be concerned about.
When we come back, it's SEC Tournament Week here in Nashville, Kentucky, coming in as the presumed favorite in the tournament. We'll talk to Jerry Tipton from the Lexington Herald Leader coming up next. But first, the NCAA Tournament right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Central Barbecue, Hi-Fi Buys, and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville mobile app now and sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 15th. And if you're lucky enough to have the perfect bracket, you could also win $1 million. The first place winner for our competition will receive a Central Barbecue $200 gift card and a pair of tickets to see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan at Bridgestone Arena on April 24th. So a really good prize there. We'll be right back with Jerry Tipton. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.